diagnostic test and prognostic test in economics. The main purpose of a diagnostic test is to analyze the nature of difficulties experienced by the students in the learning of economics and thereafter taking remedial steps for improvement in learning. A diagnostic test can also be used as an inventory test to find out how much the students know about a particular area of the subject matter. A diagnostic test can be a standardized test as well as non-standardized test. While constructing a standardized diagnostic test, the teacher has to consider the individual difficulties experienced by students in solving problems. The test items should also give due consideration to the varying ability of students in solving different type of problems. The age norm and the group norm, etc., should also be given their due consideration. Before constructing such a test, a pilot study should be conducted over a given area or unit and its result analysis before finalizing the test. The reliability of coefficient of the test has to be calculated and then a diagnostic test deemed to be considered fit for administration over a large sample. Formative type of evaluation is primarily meant for diagnostic purpose. A unit test can be administered for this purpose. We can think of a unit test in production, a unit test in income and expenditure, and a unit test in banking, etc. Depending upon the prescribed syllabi, a study of wrong answers given by the students is very helpful for purpose of diagnosis. The teacher's informal test in the class is generally meant for the purpose of finding out difficulties of the students. Teacher-made diagnostic tests usually fall under the category of non-standardized tests. Diagnosis is necessarily to be followed up by remedial measures. A prognostic test is aimed at finding out the future prospects of success of a student in a particular area. This test is very helpful in providing guidance in choosing a career or a vocation. Aptitude tests help us to measure the probability of success in a subject or an activity. Tests of aptitudes for specific subjects has been developed in several countries. An achievement test is used to measure the learning acquired by a student. Economics teacher and understanding of the evaluation process. For the development of an effective evaluation program, the teacher must be acquainted with, first, the subjectives of teaching economics in respect of the subject as a whole and of specific units. Second, the relationship between objectives of instruction and evaluation. Third, the varied purpose of evaluation, like that diagnosis, guidance, grading, classification, etc. Fourth, the elementary theory and practice of measurement. Fifth, the techniques and tools of evaluation, their preparation and usage. Sixth, the follow-up procedure to utilize the feedback in the classroom. The above discussion leads us to conclude that formulation of the objectives of teaching economics at a particular stage of education is a foremost task. Everything that a teacher does must be based upon the kind of behavior be wise to result from this teaching, from his teaching. Important instructional objectives of teaching economics has been dealt with in detail in any earlier chapter. Some illustrations of essay type question in economics and specific objectives. Specific objective to be evaluated is given in the parenthesis. First, explain four major changes introduced in India's economic policies since independence. Second, explain four major changes introduced in India's industrial policies since independence. Third, compare economic advantage of individual farming and cooperative farming. Four, compare economic advantage of small scale industries and large scale industries. Fifth, why did India adopt mixed economy for economic development? Six, which in your views is better for economic development of India, planned or unplanned economy? Seven, how do you account for the effectiveness of planned development during the last 5 decades, cause and effect? Eight, summarize the economic advantage and limitations of the nationalization of bank in India. Ninth, summarize the economic advantage and limitations of cooperative farming in India. 10. Why are India agriculturists not enthusiastic of cooperative farming? 11. Examine some problems relating to cottage industries that require further study. 12. Suggest a plan for providing the truth or falsity of the contention that establishment of super bazaar is a good policy to control prices of customer articles. 3. Give 5 practical suggestions to improve the functioning of super bazaar. 14. Differential between production oriented and consumption oriented activities. Which of them, in your opinion, is more important for developing economy like India? 15. How are production, consumption, and investment related? 16. Do you think that India erred in placing too much emphasis of public sector? Discuss. 17. On the basis of following hypothetical data, show whether the real national income has gone up or not. Year, national income price index. Year, 1980-81 national income 14,000 crores, price index 100. Year 1981-82 national income 9,76,000 crores, price index 160. Interpretation. Objective based illustrations of short answer questions. Specific objective of question is given in the parenthesis. First, give three reasons for according priority to the public sector in Indian plans. Second, list three criteria for evaluating achievement of the 5-year plans in India. Third, how does decision making in a controlled economy differ from that in a free market economy? Fourth, how will GNP be affected if Indians buy share of foreign emphasis on a large scale? Fifth, distinguish between an open economy and a closed economy. Sixth, why has a government of India adopted the price support policy for agriculture? Seven, give two examples each of individual export and imports. Eight, if our trade relation with Japan break off, name two important industries which will be adversely affected. 10. 9. Name three factors which brought about green revolution in Indian economy. 10. Name two economists who have been awarded the Nobel Prize. 11. Name the first economist who gave a general theory of employment. 12. Give those factors which determine a household's demand for commodity. 13. Why does the supply curve of labor sometimes slope backwards? 14. Suggest two fiscal measures for reducing inequality of income. Unit test in economics. Meaning of a unit in economics. A unit may be described as a block of closely related subject matter in economics, as it can conveniently to overvised by the learner. For instance, major industry of India in economic syllabi may be a unit of study at the lower secondary stage spread over 3 or 4 periods, but at the higher secondary stage, iron industry may constitute a unit of study by itself, spread over almost the same instructional span, SPAN. Likewise, means of transport may be a unit of study at the lower secondary stage, but at the higher secondary stage, railways may constitute a unit of study by itself. The size of the unit will vary from stage to stage depending upon the mental maturity of the learners and the depth at which a particular study is proposed to be undertaken. Central idea of the unit. The central idea around which a unit of study is commonly woven may either come from the content of a specific discipline or broad field content or even learner's own interest or experience. Commonly, the silent themes or topics draw from a subject area or prescribed syllabi become the basic of the constitution of a unit of study. A number of units of study thus constitute a course of study. Examples of units in economics. First, comparative economic systems. Second, stages of economic development. Third, consumption and human wants. Fourth, capital. Fifth, production. Six, money. Seven, income and expenditure. Eight, our resources. Nine, national income. 10, agriculture in India. 11, industries in India. 12, monetary institutions in India. 13, India's foreign trade. 14, labor is a factor of production. 15, economic planning in India. Meaning of a unit test. A unit test is basically a miniature test. It differs from a full test mainly in regard to the limited content area on which it is based. Otherwise, it has all the characteristics of a full test. Specific characteristics of a unit test. A unit test has the following characteristics. First, it is based on a small block of content that is cohesive, cohesive, and well integrated. Second, it is administered immediately after the conclusion of a teaching learning program without any formal time for preparation or a formal schedule for administration. Third, it is primarily confined to the unit under study. Fourth, there is a greater flexibility regarding testing devices to be employed than in a case of a course test. Five, evidence obtained through the unit test is used immediately for feedback for the purpose of improvement of learning. Modification of teaching strategy, remedial work, etc. 6. A unit test is basically an informal test but can be used as a formal device also after taking proper precautions. Planning of a unit test. The planning, preparation and administration of unit test involves almost all those points that are used in setting an improvement type of question paper. First, drawing up a design. Weightage to objectives, content, subtopic, form of subject, question, etc. Second, developing a blueprint. The three-dimensional chart, taking chart of objectives, etc. Third, framing of question items. Fourth, assembling, arranging, used, editing the test. Fifth, preparing a scoring key or objective type items and marking scheme. Six, undertaking question-wise analysis. Usage of a unit test. Following are the main usages of a unit test. First, ascertaining ascertaining, the effectiveness of teaching learning. Second, finding over the weakness and strength of individual teacher. Third, assessing the process of learning. Fourth, guiding the teacher in planning his instruction. Fifth, motivating the learner. Sixth, developing steady habits in pupils. 7. Using a self-evaluating device for students, since the test contains a key and a marketing scheme. 8. Using a unit test as home assignments. 9. Using for remedial work. Unit test and a formal summative test. SUMMATIVE. Quarterly, half yearly, or monthly test. A formal summative test is organized at the end of a course of study or some part there to ascertain the degree and kind of progress made by the pupils. The basic idea of this type of test is to grade the pupils and certify their achievements. In between these terminal and semi-terminal points lie the various stages at with different units of study are completed. It is necessary to test the progressive of learning at the end of each unit primarily, which a view of finding out the extent of pupils' achievement in respect of that unit for providing the pupils necessary remedial instruction. It also helps to find out whether a certain place of learning has really gone into before embarking upon the next unit. It thus requires a sort of informal testing, a kind of mastery test. Training of the economics teacher in the use of tests. The effectiveness of testing program depends greatly upon the competence of the teacher in use of various tests. The high level of competence depends upon the following factors. A. The economics teacher should attend several courses in the field of psychological measurements and statistical techniques. B. The teacher should be well versed with different type of tests. C. The teacher should know where to find detailed information on specific tests. D. The teacher should know how to supplement the test data. E. The teacher should be acquainted with the elementary statistical measurements. F. The teacher should keep himself in touch with the latest method of the use of tests. G. The teacher should bear in mind that tests are one of the several kinds of techniques that are devised to facilitate understanding of the individuals. Administration and recording of aptitude and other tests. Following consideration may be kept in view while planning, administering and recording tests. First, tests should be given under standardized conditions that permit each testee to perform at his best, like that physical environment, emotional environments, etc. Second, the testers should prepare themselves in advance. Third, the testers should give clear instructions to the testers. Fourth, the testers should follow verbatim the test instructions contained in the manual. Fifth, orientation talks on the usefulness of testing may be given to the students so that they are motivated to take tests and are convinced that tests are genuinely important. 6. Records should be kept systematically so that they are made use of conveniently by the appropriate agency. Of course, results should be kept confidential. A word of caution may be said in the use of tests. Tests are tools and should be used as such. It would be a great error to use tests as the sole basis for evaluating pupils' needs and abilities. Ross writes, guidance is always more than the giving of tests, no matter how extensively or carefully done. Tests, when correctly used, yield more accurate and speedy information than the subjective techniques, such as the interview, observation, and questionnaire. However, these have their own limitations. They fail to provide comprehensive measurement. There are factors like cultural and social background, emotional stability, etc., which play their own role, and these tests fail to measure them. The end of sound recording of book The Teaching of Economic A Practical Approach, written by J.C. Agarwal. In last, very thanks for this book, writers J.C. Agarwal and publisher Vinod Pustak Mandir, because this book is very useful for blind students. Best wishes to students who listen it.